For the past 6 weeks, we have been exploring in worship and in small group studies the topic of change in our world and in our church. We've been doing this because in mid-March we are preparing ourselves to receive 5 prescriptions from a consultation team, which will help us to focus on our future as a congregation and how we can best remain vital and grow spiritually and numerically. Part of this process, known as the Vital Church Initiative, or VCI for short, includes looking at our world today, and especially at younger generations, and understanding how much has changed for them and for us. Our son Nick is 22 years old. He lives in Charlotte, North Carolina, and he works for a sports marketing firm there. Charlotte is booming with new people, especially young people. Nick tells us that 100 new people every day apply for a driver's license in Charlotte. Especially young people. And everywhere you look around the city of Charlotte, there is new construction, especially apartment buildings and lofts. In Nick's apartment building, which was finished in the spring of 2017, there are many ways to connect technology with the apartment environment. Flat screens on the walls contain information in the lobbies and in the gathering spaces. And you can gather with friends in large spaces to watch the big game on a really big screen if you like. You can connect your phone with the sound system in the game rooms and in the workout rooms so you can listen to your playlist of music selections on Spotify while you're playing ping pong or pool. Now, Spotify, in case you're not sure what that is a music, video, and podcast app and one of our daughter Grace's favorite apps. She's 19. Back to Nick's apartment complex in Charlotte. There is a community kitchen space for larger gatherings of friends and family and pots and pans, numerous pots and pans that can be borrowed from the apartment, from the apartment complex in case someone doesn't have the things that they need in their apartment. When John and I visited with Nick in early January, I was surprised, astonished actually, at all the ways both his apartment complex and his workplace are building community and helping people to connect with one another. Young people today are seeking connection and a sense of belonging. And they are finding it in new ways, in online communities and small group gatherings around things that they have in common, and at their apartment complexes and in sports leagues. If we in the church want to connect with younger generations of people, it is critical that we in the church understand this change in our world and the new ways that new generations are doing things. I'm not saying that we should do away with all of our traditions and the ways of doing things that we've been doing for a long time, but I am saying we need to figure out how best to connect the love of Jesus with people who are seeking that connection. Technology is part of that connection. Our son Nick tells me this. The 3 apps that he uses most often are Reddit, Snapchat, and Instagram. Reddit, Snapchat, and Instagram. Now, for those of you who think I've just spoken some kind of foreign language, let me share, I learned this, that Instagram and Snapchat are places that you can connect with others who follow you. You connect by posting a photo or a message. These 2 apps are very popular among young people today, especially Reddit is an online place where you read and share news and opinions about various subjects, from sports to cooking to new building construction. You might know that the co-founder of Reddit is married to tennis great Serena Williams. I knew that. That's the only thing I knew about Reddit. So our son Nick gave me a lesson. He says he likes to connect on Reddit to talk with others about various sports teams. For example, when the Wings are playing, he goes on Reddit and they talk back and forth from people all over the world. He likes to know when a new building is being built in Charlotte so that he'll know about it, and he talks to people on Reddit about that. The apps that Nick mentions that he uses most often are some of the most popular apps used today, and it's where and how people are connecting with one another in this new world we live in. Why am I telling you all of this? What does this have to do with church? What does this have to do with Scripture and Jesus? Well, it's another example of the new world that is out there and how people are searching for and finding belonging and connection. If we in the church want to connect, we need to look at new ways to connect with people and help people in Nick and Grace's generation and others feel that they belong here as well. People are longing. They're longing for connection and a sense of belonging. They're wanting authentic community. We have over 55 people here at Narden Park reading our study book for this time. The book is called Who Stole My Church by Gordon MacDonald. One of the conclusions of the book is this: we've got to make the church a place where every person we love could come and find the possibility of new life. We've got to make the church a place where every person we love could come and find the possibility of new life. New life is what being the church is all about. New life in the love of Christ. Finding hope when we feel hopeless. Finding purpose when it all seems meaningless. Finding peace when it feels like everything around us is chaotic and noisy and disturbing. Finding direction when we feel lost. Being loved and welcomed and accepted when we feel rejected. This is what a faith community can do and be when it focuses on helping people come and find the possibility of new life. Jesus addresses this matter head on in today's gospel reading from Luke. A lawyer asks him what must be done to inherit eternal life. And Jesus, knowing that the man is a lawyer, asks him to quote the law. The lawyer knows the law well and says this: love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's it, says Jesus. Do this and you'll find eternal life. But the lawyer goes on to ask, who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor? And Jesus tells him the familiar story of the Good Samaritan. We know this story well. A man was in need lying by the side of the road, and many good church-going people passed him by for all kinds of reasons. Tradition: they were too busy with their committee meetings to take time to help the man feel welcomed and that he belonged. Things like this just weren't done. But the Samaritan, well, he was willing to change his ways, to cross boundaries of the day, to break the normal customs and rules, the way things have always been done, to imagine a new possibility of hope. The man in the ditch was Jewish, and Jews and Samaritans in those days had absolutely nothing to do with one another. But this Samaritan man broke with that tradition. He crossed the road and helped him. Why? Because he understood that what matters most is helping others to feel that they're welcome and loved and that they belong. And you know the rest of the story. The Samaritan man bound up his wounds, and the one who was lying by the side of the road was taken by the Samaritan man on his donkey to an inn, and the Samaritan man paid his bill for as long as he needed it. Love of neighbor, radical hospitality, new life. letting this man know that he was loved and cared for, that he belonged. And while the story doesn't tell us this, I'm sure that this man, when he was healed of his wounds, never ever forgot what that Samaritan man did for him. Perhaps they stayed friends. Perhaps the Samaritan man continued to be in touch, and they had coffee together or decided to catch a sports game. After a while, the Samaritan man might have said to the man who was healed from his wounds, "You know, my church is having an event that you might be interested in coming with. Me too. I'd like to invite you. You'll be welcomed. You'll be loved because you're my friend. Do this, Jesus says, and you will live. Do this, Jesus says, and you will find new life. Do this, love your neighbor. Provide welcome. Make that your priority. Make the church a place where everyone we love can find the possibility of new life. Help let others know that God is for them." It's the mission of the church. It's the same mission we've had for hundreds and hundreds of years. To do this, though, we will need to find new ways to connect. Things we've not done before, things we've not tried before. And yes, we will need to let go of some of the things that we have always done in the past to make room for the new ways we need to connect. All because our mission is to help connect people with Jesus Christ, with the possibility of new life and love. To do this, our focus needs to be out in the world, because our mission field is out there, not just in here. That's why there's that open window on the front of your bulletin. The founder and father of Methodism said long ago, "The world is my parish. The world is my parish." We are called to draw a wide circle, to go out and meet people where they are and understand where they live. So it means that someone like me has to ask for help understanding Reddit. At our VCI workshop back at the end of January, our facilitator, Pastor Brad Calajanian, mentioned that at the church he serves in Grand Rapids, one of the fastest growing United Methodist churches in the country, they have something called the 3-minute rule, the 3-minute rule for after worship. That is, they ask all their church members and regular attenders right after worship to take the first 3 minutes and talk to someone they do not know. First 3 minutes, talk to someone they do not know, rather than going right away to talk to their friends or do committee business. 3 minutes to say welcome to someone new. 3 minutes to meet a person who maybe has been attending here for years, but you've never had the opportunity to just ask them how they're doing or even what their name is. You might see them every week, but you have no idea who they really are. 3 minutes to reach out to others in the name of Christ. 3 minutes to focus on loving our neighbor. 3-minute rule. When I heard that, I wondered, what would happen here at Narden Park if we put that into practice each and every week? 3 minutes, sharing the love of Christ, helping others find a sense of belonging to this faith community. And if you're really enjoying it, you can go longer than 3 minutes. But start with 3. Reminding others that this place is where new life in Christ can be found. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. We are invited to move out of the church and into the world, to become the kind of place where people who are searching for hope can find the possibility of new life. We are called to draw the circle of love wide, to remember that no one stands alone, to draw that circle wide. And in order to do all of that, it starts with our own hearts, which need to be changed and reformed and remade.